The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today is Ping and the Empty Pot by Demi. A long time ago in China, there was a boy named Ping who loved flowers. Anything he planted burst into bloom. Up came flowers, bushes, and even big fruit trees, as if by magic. Everyone in the kingdom loved flowers too. They planted them everywhere, and the air smelled like perfume. The emperor, who was the king of all the land, loved birds and animals, but flowers most of all, and he tended his own garden every day. But the emperor was very old. He needed to choose a successor to the throne. Who would his successor be, and how would the emperor choose? Because the emperor loved flowers so much, he decided to let the flowers choose. The next day, a proclamation was issued. All the children in the land were to come to the palace. There they would be given special flower seeds by the emperor. "Whoever can show me their best in a year's time," he said, "will succeed me to the throne." The news created great excitement throughout the land. Children from all over the country swarmed to the palace to get their flower seeds. All the parents wanted their children to be chosen emperor, and all the children hoped they would be chosen too. When Ping received his seed from the emperor, he was the happiest child of all. He was sure he could grow the most beautiful flower. Ping filled a flower pot with rich soil. He planted the seed in it very carefully. He watered it every day. He couldn't wait to see it sprout, grow, and blossom into a beautiful flower. Day after day passed, but nothing grew in his pot. Ping was very worried. He put new soil into a bigger pot. Then he transferred the seed into the rich black soil. Another 2 months he waited. Still nothing happened. And it was autumn and the leaves were coming off the trees and it was starting to get cold. And then it was winter and snow covered the ground, but nothing in his pot. By and by, the whole year passed. Spring came and all the children put on their best clothes to greet the emperor. They rushed to the palace with their beautiful flowers, eagerly hoping to be chosen. Ping was ashamed of his empty pot. He thought the other children would laugh at him because for once he couldn't get a flower to grow. His clever friend ran by holding a great big plant. "Ping," he said, "you're not really going to the emperor with an empty pot, are you? Couldn't you grow a great big flower like mine?" "I've grown lots of flowers better than yours," Ping said. "It's just this seed that won't grow." Ping's father overheard this and said, "You did your best, and your best is good enough to present to the emperor." So, holding the empty pot in his hands, Ping went straight away to the palace. The emperor was looking at the flowers slowly, one by one. How beautiful all the flowers were. but the emperor was frowning and did not say a word. Finally, he came to Ping. Ping hung his head in shame, expecting to be punished. The emperor asked him, "Why did you bring me an empty pot?" Ping started to cry and then replied, "I planted the seed you gave me and I watered it every day, but it didn't sprout. I put it in a better pot with better soil, but still it didn't sprout. I tended it all year long, but nothing grew. So today I had to bring an empty pot without a flower. It was the best I could do." When the emperor heard these words, a smile slowly spread over his face, and he put his arm around Ping. Then he exclaimed to one and all, "I have found him. I have found the one person worthy of being emperor. Where the rest of you got your seeds from, I do not know, for the seeds I gave you had all been cooked. So it was impossible for any of them to grow. I admire Ping's great courage to appear before me with the empty truth, and now I reward him with my entire kingdom and make him emperor of all the land." Our next book is Little Raccoon by Mabel Watts. Ricky Raccoon lived at the edge of the forest near a river, along with many other raccoons. And here it shows trees, all sorts of trees, and raccoons climbing up the trunks, and lots of raccoons coming out of little tree holes halfway up the tree. And anyways, Ricky Raccoon lived with many other raccoons. All of them liked to paddle around in wet, muddy places. All wore black rings on their big, bushy tails and cute black masks on their faces. They looked like they were going to a party. Ricky liked to romp and climb and clown with the other little ringtails. What fun it was to paddle and to swim in the river. Best of all, Ricky liked to fish. Swish! In went his paw. And splash! Out came a minnow. Ricky and his friends snooped and explored all over the forest. They chased the fireflies by the light of the moon. They played touch tag among the shadows. And all the time they chattered, "Chirr, chirr, hmm, whoop." Ricky Raccoon was a smart little animal, too. He could dig for worms, or he could catch a frog, or crack a clamshell with his teeth as easy as you please. He could find a field of sweet corn just by sniffing at the breeze. One day, Ricky went to a school picnic. The children thought him funny and cute. They fed him marshmallows and peppermints, peanuts and cake. Ricky was clever, a clever little raccoon and no mistake. And all the time he said, "Chirr, chirr, ooh, hmm." Ricky was also very, very clean. Every so often, he scooped up some water and washed his face. He always washed his hands before lunch. He even washed his lunch. "Want me to wash your carrot?" he asked Robert Rabbit. "Hmm? Hmm?" "Want me to rinse your acorns?" he asked Susie Squirrel. "Hmm? Hmm?" "How about freshening up your grapes?" he asked Freddy the Fox. "Hmm? Who?" Ricky Raccoon had very nice manners, and he was thoughtful as could be. Every time he found an apple in Farmer Hayseed's orchard, he took it home to his mother. He was always bringing her one thing or the other. Follow me, Ricky told Benji Bear, if you want to find some honey. Charlie Chipmunk looked up sad. To cheer him up, Ricky did something funny. And here Ricky is turning some somersaults and making Charlie Chipmunk happy again. He told Billy the Beaver the time of day. And when Flora Fawn got lost, the little raccoon gladly pointed out the way to her. He was nice to everyone, even the skunk. And all the time he said, chirr, chirr, Ricky was playful and smart and clean and good most of the time. But he was curious all of the time. Ricky followed every curious sound. He stuck his paw into every little hole he found. The little raccoon was curious when he looked in Farmer Hayseed's kitchen window. Anyone home? He asked. Who? He was curious when he climbed up the chimney. He was curious when he looked in the mailbox. One day, sad to say, Ricky felt extra curious. So he stuck his head in an old tin can. But uh-oh, once the can was on, it wouldn't come off. It was stuck on tight. Poor Ricky looked so funny. He was a sight. Wahoo, he cried. Help me. Ricky's friends heard his call. They came to his rescue, one and all. And they took turns trying to pull the can off Ricky's head. Billy Beaver pulled, and Charlie Chipmunk, and Freddy Fox, and Robert Rabbit, and Susie Squirrel, and Flora the Fawn. The little raccoon squeaked and squawked inside his can. It's dark in here, he said. Where am I? Whoo, whoo. Next, Ricky's mother pulled, and all the other raccoons, even the skunk. They pulled and tugged, and pulled some more. But still, the can was stuck, just like before. Well, I declare, said a big, gruff voice. It was Benji the bear. Now, when Benji pulled on the something, he really pulled. Off came that can with a pop, and it really made Ricky hop. Thank you, dear friends, said the little raccoon as he rubbed his poor ears. You've all been so good to me. And then he broke down into tears. The animals hugged him. They made such a big fuss. The reason we're good to you, they said, is because you've always been so good to us. The Paper Bag Princess by Robert Munch. Elizabeth was a beautiful princess. She lived in a castle and had expensive princess clothes. She was going to marry a prince named Ronald. Ronald sort of looks stuck up here in this picture. But anyways, unfortunately, a dragon smashed her castle, burned all her clothes with his fiery breath, and carried off Prince Roland. Oops. Elizabeth decided to chase the dragon and get Roland back. She looked everywhere for something to wear, but the only thing she could find that was not burnt was a paper bag. So she put on the paper bag and followed the dragon. She was mad. The dragon was easy to follow because he left a trail of burnt forests and horses' bones. Finally, Elizabeth came to a cave with a large door that had a huge knocker on it. She took hold of the knocker and banged on the door. The dragon stuck his nose out of the door and said, "Well, a princess. I love to eat princesses, but I have already eaten a whole castle today. I am a very busy dragon. Come back tomorrow." He slammed the door so fast that Elizabeth almost got her nose caught in it. Elizabeth grabbed the knocker and banged on the door again. The dragon stuck his nose out of the door and said, "Go away. I love to eat princesses, but I have already eaten a whole castle today. I am a very busy dragon. Come back tomorrow." "Wait," shouted Elizabeth. "Is it true that you are the smartest and fiercest dragon in the whole world?" "Yes," said the dragon. "Is it true," said Elizabeth, "that you can burn up 10 forests with your fiery breath?" "Oh, yes," said the dragon, and he took a huge deep breath and breathed out so much fire that he burnt up 50 forests. "Fantastic," said Elizabeth, and the dragon took another huge breath and breathed out so much fire that he burnt up 100 more forests. "Magnificent," said Elizabeth, and the dragon took another huge breath, but this time nothing came out. The dragon didn't even have enough fire left to cook a meatball. Elizabeth said, "Dragon, is it true that you can fly around the world in just 10 seconds? "Why, yes," said the dragon, and jumped up and flew all the way around the world in just 10 seconds. He was very tired when he got back, but Elizabeth shouted, "Fantastic! Do it again!" So the dragon jumped up and flew around the whole world in just 20 seconds. When he got back, he was too tired to talk, and he lay down and went straight to sleep. Elizabeth whispered very softly, "Hey, dragon." The dragon didn't move at all. She lifted up the dragon's ear and put her head right inside. She shouted as loud as she could, "Hey, dragon." The dragon was so tired he could not even move. Elizabeth walked right over the dragon and opened the door to the cave. And there was Prince Roland. He looked at her and said, "Elizabeth, you are a mess. You smell like ashes, your hair is all tangled, and you are wearing a dirty old paper bag. Come back when you are dressed like a real princess." "And Roland," said Elizabeth, "your clothes are really pretty, and your hair is very neat. You look like a real prince, but you are a bum. And they didn't get married after all." Now, this is Frog and Toad Are Friends by Arnold Lobel, and we're going to read a story from this book called Spring. Frog ran up the path to Toad's house. He knocked on the front door. There was no answer. "Toad! Toad!" shouted Frog. "Wake up! It's spring!" "Blah!" said a voice inside the house. "Toad! Toad!" cried Frog. "The sun is shining. The snow is melting. Wake up!" "I am not here," said the voice. Frog walked into the house. It was dark. All the shutters were closed. "Toad, where are you?" called Frog. "Go away," said the voice from a corner of the room. Toad was lying in bed. He had pulled all the covers over his head. Frog pushed Toad out of bed. He pushed him out of the house and onto the front porch. Toad blinked in the bright sun. "Help," said Toad. "I cannot see anything." "Don't be silly," said Frog. "What you see is the clear, warm light of April, and it means that we can begin a whole new year together, Toad." "Think of it," said Frog. We will skip through the meadows and run through the woods and swim in the river. In the evenings, we will sit right here on this front porch and count the stars." "You can count them, Frog," said Toad. "I will be too tired. I am going back to bed." Toad went back into the house. He got into the bed and pulled the covers over his head again. "But Toad," cried Frog, "you will miss all the fun." "Listen, Frog," said Toad, "how long have I been asleep?"
"You have been asleep since November," said Frog.
"Well then," said Toad, "a little more sleep will not hurt me. Come back again and wake me up at about 6:30. "Good night, Frog."
"But Toad," said Frog, "I will be lonely until then."
Toad did not answer. He had fallen asleep. Frog looked at Toad's calendar. The November page was still on top. Frog tore off the November page. He tore off the December page and the January page, the February page, then the March page, and then he came to the April page, and Frog tore off the April page too. Then Frog ran back to Toad's bed. "Toad, Toad, wake up now, it is May."
"What?" said Toad. "Can it be May so soon?"
"Yes," said Frog, "look at your calendar." Toad looked at the calendar. The May page was on top.
"Why, it is May," said Toad as he climbed out of bed.
Then he and Frog ran outside to see how the world was looking in the spring. And another Frog and Toad story called The Story. One day in summer, Frog was not feeling well. Toad said, "Frog, you are looking quite green."
"But I always look green," said Frog. "I am a frog."
"Today you look very green, even for a frog," said Toad. "Get into my bed and rest." Toad made Frog a cup of hot tea. Frog drank the tea and then he said, "Tell me a story while I am resting."
"All right," said Toad. "Let me think of a story to tell you."
Toad thought and thought, but he could not think of a story to tell Frog.
"I will go out on the front porch and walk up and down," said Toad. "Perhaps that will help me to think of a story."
Toad walked up and down on the porch for a long time, but he could not think of a story to tell Frog. Then Toad went into the house and stood on his head.
"Why are you standing on your head?" asked Frog.
"I hope that if I stand on my head, it will help me to think of a story," said Toad. Toad stood on his head for a long time, but he could still not think of a story to tell Frog. Then Toad poured a glass of water over his head.
"Why are you pouring water over your head?" asked Frog. "I hope that if I pour water over my head, it will help me think of a story for you," said Toad.
Toad poured many glasses of water over his head, but still he could not think of a story to tell Frog. Then Toad began to bang his head against the wall.
"Why are you banging your head against the wall?" asked Frog.
"I hope that if I bang my head against the wall hard enough, it will help me to think of a story," said Toad.
"I am feeling much better now, Toad," said Frog. "I do not think I need a story anymore."
"Then you get out of bed and let me get into it," said Toad, "because now I feel terrible."
Frog said, "Would you like me to tell you a story, Toad?"
"Yes," said Toad, "if you know one."
"Once upon a time," said Frog, "there were two good friends, a frog and a toad. The frog was not feeling well, so
he asked his friend the toad to tell him a story. The toad could not think of a story. He walked up and down on the porch, but he could not think of a story. He stood on his head, but he could not think of a story. He poured water over his head, but he could not think of a story. He banged his head against the wall, but he still could not think of a story. Then the toad did not feel so well, and the frog was feeling better. So the toad went to bed, and the frog got up and told him a story. The end. "How was that story, Toad?" asked Frog. But Toad did not answer, because he had fallen fast asleep. And now, a lost button. Toad and Frog went for a long walk. They walked across a large meadow. They walked in the woods. They walked along the river, and at last they went back home to Toad's house. "Oh, drat," said Toad, "not only do my feet hurt, but I have lost one of the buttons on my jacket." "Don't worry," said Frog. "We will go back to all the places where we walked, and we will find your button." So they walked back to the large meadow and began to look through the tall grass. "Here is your button," cried Frog. "That is not my button," said Toad. "The button is black. My button was white." And Toad put the black button in his pocket. A sparrow flew down. "Excuse me," said the sparrow. "Did you lose a button? I found one." "That is not my button," said Toad. "My button has two holes." "No, that button has two holes, excuse me. But my button had four holes." Toad put the button with the two holes in his pocket. They went back into the woods and looked on the dark paths. "Here is your button," said Frog. "That is not my button," cried Toad. "That button is small. My button was big." But still, Toad put the small button into his pocket. Frog and Toad went back to the river. They looked for the button in the mud. "Here is your button," cried Frog. "This is not my button," shouted Toad. "That button is thin. My button was thick." Toad put the thin button in his pocket. He was very angry. He jumped up and down and screamed, "The whole world is covered with buttons, and not one of them is mine." Toad ran home and slammed the door. There on the floor he saw his white, four-holed, big, round, thick button. "Oh," said Toad, "it was here all the time. What a lot of trouble I have made for Frog." Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.